Good evening, everybody, and welcome along to the big one. It's the Derby Day preview show. My name's Julian Roberts. It's an absolute pleasure to be here to preview this game of all games, as I'm sure it is for my fellow co-host, Tom Walker. How are you getting on tonight, mate?
Yeah, I'm good. Obviously here to discuss the big one. You know, we call it a preview show, but let's be honest, we're looking back at Tuesday. you know, an absolute rout of Spurs. What a week they've had.
Mate, what was it? 2-4-1 losses on the bounce for Spurs?
Yeah, you can imagine the one on Tuesday is the one that will really sting.
That's the one that will sting
For those at White Hart Lane. You know, we've played ourselves into form. admittedly, with a load of players that aren't going to be anywhere near the pitch on Saturday. But
Will they?
Yeah. I mean,
is the narrative actually that Glenn McConnell has forced himself into the starting lineup on Saturday?
I know someone who will make it that way. Unfortunately, he's not here to make the case, but. You know, obviously we bowed out of the whatever it's called trophy now.
Bristol Street Motors Trophy, that is, mate.
That's somehow worse than Papa John's, isn't it? Yeah. It's actually incredible.
It's definitely sadder.
Yeah, I've had my notifications on since on Cambridge United's Twitter account because I'm still waiting for the club statement announcing Bonner's departure because I think if bowing out in only the group stage of that tournament is he's deemed acceptable by this football club now. We're going to have serious words about the ambition we've got. And I think, if anything, it's clear evidence, clear as day, that Bonner's taken us as far as he can.
Standards have dropped too far, haven't they? You know how they talk about, do you remember when Wigan won the FA Cup, but they got relegated? Yeah. I think I remember you saying you'd rather win the Bristol Street Trophies. Bristol Street.
I can't even say it. Trophy. I keep saying Bristol Rovers. I just keep saying Bristol Rovers.
The Bristol Street Motors Trophy and get relegated. That's what I heard you say once. You'd rather win that and get relegated happily.
Yeah, I'd have been absolutely delighted with that. Let's make no bones about it.
Anyway, look, come on, let's stop all of that. First, let's take a moment, which I know you mentioned it on Saturday, but let's blow some more smoke up our own ass because I haven't had a chance to yet. Nominated 2 years running this year. Hopefully we do come home with the trophy, though. Obviously we are going to have to beat the likes of, you know, Liverpool, Arsenal, Leeds to it. But, you know, stranger things have happened. We have, of course, been nominated again for the FSA Awards, as the boys mentioned on Monday's pod. Do give us a vote, please. Like, genuinely, every single vote counts. We can only hope that this is so small time for the Anfield rap that they couldn't even give a shit about it and don't put one link out to vote. But the link is in our bio to give us a little vote for that. We will be pressing that quite hard over the next month. So it's much easier if you just do it and then you can skip these bits of the podcast going forward. But anyway, Tom, FSA Awards aside, this is what I really want to know from you. It's a 12 o'clock kick on Saturday. The biggest chat in all the group chats hasn't been who's injured. What train's everyone getting? I've heard some brilliant shouts for train times.
Wait, for a change, it's not me.
It's not you.
Insanely early. I think I have a record amongst you know, us and people that we go with of maybe pushing for earlier than necessary trains to fit in, you know, the pre-match refreshments that we need or maybe don't need in a lot of cases. Of all people, it's Jordan Warland.
Jordan Warland suggesting the 6:58 out of Cambridge Station.
That's fucking outrageous, isn't it? I mean, even 12 o'clock kick, right? Granted, 12 o'clock kick, right? That's the equivalent of us getting a train at 10 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. For a 3 o'clock game at home.
Which you did suggest for Carlisle at home.
It's happened. Yeah. it's happened. But yeah, I mean, look, you know, I think anything sort of too far north or south of eight o'clock is going to be a travesty. And for all those, you know, police spotters listening out where Cambridge are going to arrive, this is obviously golden content, but you know, to a lot of other people, it's simply just logistics. So it's probably best to move on.
Yeah. Well, do you know what the London News are doing smartly is we're splitting up, aren't we? So we don't all arrive in one go. So we can't get nicked at once. So
yeah. Worth noting that London St. Pancras Wetherspoons does open at 6:30 in the morning. So, you know, for anyone that's interested, I'll be there queuing up. So waiting for it to get going.
Brilliant. Well, look, hopefully you make it to kickoff. It's quite a nerve-wracking one a little bit, isn't it? You know, Derby Day approaching. I was looking at our record against Posh obviously not a fixture that me or you have, unfortunately, that we have a lot of experience in because of, well, as everyone listening to this podcast will know, that the many years absent in divisions between us and Posh. And we haven't won there since 1990 when Dion Dublin scored in a 2-1 win. We've only beaten them once in the past 12 meetings. Granted, that includes a lot of those Bristol Street Motors trophy.
Paint trophies. Paint pizza.
Trophies. Paint pizza trophies. But, Thomas, last year, the last time we faced each other, we won 2-0 at the Abbey on that glorious Saturday afternoon. I think it was Saturday afternoon. It was part of that great escape. How confident are you of repeating something like that down at London Road? Imagine that exact game down at London Road.
What a 2-0 win for the home side. How to answer this? Not very, to be really honest. I think now that we've seen it a couple of times and we've kind of done the routine and understand how the emotions go, both win or lose, you kind of just kind of want to get this out of the way a little bit, I think, now, particularly away from home. And it really is very much get in there, get a point at least, and get out and just forget it ever happened, basically. Clearly, there's another alternative universe in which we don't get a point at least. The bits kind of either side of it have to remain the same.
Out of there as quickly as possible. That is most people's strategy when they go to Peterborough, to be fair. Get in, get out as quick as possible.
It's just passports, isn't it? It's got to be just for passports. Does anyone genuinely visit there for any other reason other than football or passports? You're not going there for sightseeing, are you? Unless
you're like, no.
Unless they built a university.
Maybe Paddy of some sort. no, this will be liable too quickly. So let's move on from that.
There's plenty of opportunity as well. There's plenty of time left for potential libel cases coming our way. I'm sure we'll get a couple of our digs in that we normally do as well. I
mean, I'm surprised you've been on this pod like twice a week for the past couple of years and there's been no libel cases brought against us so far, to be honest.
We actually had to cut out a little bit of our pod before Posh away last season because we weren't sure if what we were saying was okay. We're the less said about that the better, but we've not been as far away as it seemed.
Maybe we've not risked it enough yet. We need to live closer to the edge there. Look, should we get a bit of a preview from a Posh fan and see what they reckon to their team? I had a chat to John from the Up the Posh fan account. Hey John, thanks very much for joining us, mate. Saturday, obviously the big one. How are you feeling about it going into it?
I'm quite confident. I mean, if I had to put my money on which team would win, I would say Posh. However, I am concerned about how we played both derbies last season, actually. I think Cambridge, you boys played them like derbies, whereas I feel like we were almost a little bit complacent, certainly at the Abbey. And Ferguson in the week said, it's just another game. And that was one of the lines he used last time. And I'm a little bit worried because I know Bonner will have your boys fired up for your big day out. We'll need to match your effort levels for sure. Otherwise, we could be in a spot of bother.
Yeah. Tell us about the season so far then, because obviously you go into it fourth. So on the pitch, it seems like things have been going pretty well so far.
Yeah, we're playing well. We are playing really well, actually. Last night was a disappointment when we lost to Wigan. But the game itself, we were slightly unfortunate to lose. I think a draw would probably have been a fair reflection on the game. We had all the ball, but we lacked a little bit of quality in the final third at times. And to be fair to Wigan, they looked a good side. They were very, very much a threat on the counter and actually caused us more problems than a lot of teams have. But in general, we're playing well. Ferguson introduced almost a more possession-based style this season. We've always liked to play sort of aesthetically pleasing football, but certainly this season it's inverted fullbacks, very much modern idea of how to play football that you see almost at the top level. And it's working quite well. We have a very young squad. But in terms of expectations, I think a lot of Posh fans went into this season with a bit of trepidation and weren't too certain on where we'd finish. But I do think as things stand, we look relatively secure in the playoffs, and I'd be surprised if we sort of fall away completely from the top six. So I do think a promotion push could be on again if we continue to play like we are at the minute.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? Because you know, going this summer, it felt like Posh were going for a bit of a, just from the outside looking in, going for a bit of a sort of a new cycle of a team, right? And like having a bit of a sort of bit of a reset. I mean, look, I've got to get it in. You were so close to getting to the playoff final. obviously, I'm sure you'd have backed yourselves after that, you know, 4-0 home win in the semis. But then to not make it, it felt like it might have been a season of sort of consolidation and then go again next year. But has everyone been a bit surprised by how well you've done this year so far?
Yeah, I think so, to be fair. I mean, you mentioned that we must have been confident. If you speak to Peterborough fans, we weren't that confident going into that. We could see what was going to come. And especially when that first goal went in, I think there was a collective groan around the away end and we knew we were in for a spot of hell. But yeah, it worked out terribly. Let's make that the last mention of that game.
I was just going to say, mate, just from, you know, like as a fan, that must be like the most harrowing like night of your life to have been. I know you think it's coming, but then like, you know, you go on up an extra time. I can't imagine what that must have been like for you.
Yeah, it was tough to take. It was like, the thing was, as soon as we conceded the first, I kind of said, I was texting my mates going, we're going to lose this. I could sense it coming, and it was like watching a horror movie where you kind of knew what was going to come at the end, and then you started to believe in injury time because it's like, surely not now. And then it was like, oh no, there it is. So yeah, it was bad. I mean, I actually think Palace, when we got relegated there, was worse because we conceded two goals in the last 7 minutes, and that was pretty bad. Posh like to put you through the ringer a bit, so yeah, it's not always the most well, I guess it is fun in a way to support, but also there's a lot of ups and downs with supporting people, and they know how to ruin your emotions, really.
Yeah But anyway, so like as you were saying, sorry, like after that playoff semi defeat this summer, it felt like a bit of a reset with the squad.
Yeah, sorry, we got a bit off topic, didn't we? It did feel like a reset. The club were saying we're going to go young, and we have. I mean, we sold a lot of sort of, Jack Taylor went, Frankie Kent went, Nathan Thompson went, Dan Butler went. But when you look at it, we've upgraded actually in a lot of these positions. So Nathan Thompson was a brilliant right back for Posh for a lot of seasons. But last season, his legs had gone a little bit, and you could see that he wasn't quite the player that he once was. Peter Chioso's come in and he's been absolutely brilliant at right back, actually taking the captaincy now. He's only 23 on loan from Rotherham, but he's been really, really solid. Frankie Kent sort of gone, but Josh Knight, who was here last season, who was in and out of the squad, has really stepped up this year, and him and Ronnie Edwards have formed a really good partnership at the back. So a lot of the players that we were sort of fearful that we would miss, we've replaced either in-house or with someone like Archie Collins coming in for Jack Taylor. And I don't think Archie Collins is quite as good as Jack Taylor, but he's still a very good League One footballer. And you accompany him with Hector Kyprianou, who's really improved and kicked on. Last year was his first season at League One. This season, he's become one of the star men in the team. And the development has been good to see in a lot of our players, and we've replaced them well, like I say. So keeping Ronnie Edwards and Johnson Clark-Harris as well, it should be noted that I think a lot of Posh fans' predictions sort of they were made on the basis that those two were going to go, and I think even the club thought they were going to go. We ended up not getting the bids, or for whatever reason they stayed. And they're two, obviously, of our star players. I know Johnson Clark-Harris has actually dropped out of our starting lineup recently, but to keep them, you've got the basis of a really good League One squad, and we've recruited well, better than we have certainly in recent windows. We've recruited well this summer and brought in some really good players. So, yeah, things are really positive at the minute, and it is nice actually to see us sort of surpassing expectations, because we often go into League One and it's always like, right, the expectations are top six with Peterborough pretty much every year, and often we've fallen short. Let's face it, in the last decade, we've only made the playoffs, I think, twice off the top of my head. So it's nice sort of that a lot of people went in thinking mid table, and now we're looking like top six contenders, and maybe if we can iron out some of the individual errors, a top two if we can get it right in January.
Yeah, fair enough. And I mean, the manager, you know, someone that United fans listening know a fair amount about, and Posh fans even more so. What is this, number four or three? I've forgotten.
Number four.
This is four. Yeah. So, I mean, normally I ask, like, what's the opinion like on the manager? But that's obviously a Tougher question. I suppose this time around, were you happy with the appointment? And is he doing anything differently? Is he playing a different system this year to how what he has done before?
Yeah, so when Fergie initially came back, I wasn't particularly happy with it. I just thought it was uncreative, and I thought we needed some fresh ideas. To be fair to him, my initial doubts, and I guess my fear with it was it just we could have done with some fresh ideas at that point. We'd gone through the Ferguson and Grant McCann cycle, and it was like we were only getting peated by our ideas. But Ferguson, for what it's worth, is a really, really good League One manager. Everyone knows that. He's got a great track record at this division, and ultimately it's worked. I guess the club will say it's worked, and certainly now I'm pretty happy with it. I don't think any manager would be doing any better with this squad that we've currently got than Darren Ferguson. Last season he came in, we obviously made the playoffs, just about fell short. And there was some at the end of that season who sort of, again, wanted the new start. But at that point, I'd sort of bought into Ferguson's project again. And he has changed things a little bit this season. The style of football is slightly different to what he played before. It is a more progressive style, and actually a more modern style in some senses. It is even more attractive than what we played before. Sometimes it can be a little bit pedestrian, with patient possession football. Sometimes it can look like you're just knocking it around the back for no apparent reason. But when it clicks, it's really, really good to watch. And like I say, this season he's done a great job. I think it's a difficult job managing such a young team, although it's got a lot of talent. The style of football, we're dominating the ball in most games we go into. We've gone away to Bolton now and we didn't win, but we were much the better team. Like I say, Wigan last night, we played fairly well. Blackpool, we've won at now, which is a good win. Barnsley, we absolutely dominated away from home. So when it goes well, we look a really, really good team. I'm fully on board with sort of the new policy and just sticking with a young squad. I think it's got back to those Peterborough roots of almost the first stint where he was here, when we had a really young squad then, and that was probably the most successful and enjoyable time I had as a Posh fan.
Yeah, fair enough. So Saturday, United fans listening, who are the players? You've obviously mentioned a couple, but who, if you had to pick one or two, the players to watch for Saturday?
So much of our play relies on Kwame Poku and Ephraim Mason-Clark. Mason-Clark started the season not in great form. He was sort of moved around the pitch. He's best off the left, and we were trying him up front in number 10 role, and it didn't really suit him, but he's been back on really good form recently. He wasn't great last night, but since he's moved back to the left wing, he's really playing well. Kwame Poku has sort of moved around the team a little bit recently. He's played wing back one game, centre mid last night, but generally he starts down the right or in as like a number 10. And he's a great player. Both of those two are massive threats and key to our build-up play. Kipriani, like I mentioned, in midfield is one to watch. I think he's a really good player and can dominate at this level. And if you can stop him, you generally stop Posh, but it's easier said than done. And then we've got Ricky J. Jones, who's just come into the team up front, who has had a lot of criticism from Posh fans, but I really like him. He's absolutely rapid. He's got 3 goals in his last 4 games. Whether he starts Saturday, I don't know, because he might get swapped out for Clark Harris. It feels a bit like he wasn't great on Tuesday night, and he might just need a rest and taking out the team, particularly against you guys, because there's not going to be a load of space to run into him behind, which is a key strength. But if he plays, he's in good form and he should be confident. So I'd say those players are probably the ones to watch for us.
And the big question, what's your prediction?
So I don't want to sound overly confident, but I think if Posh turn up, you're generally a tough nut to crack. I think it will come down to who gets the first goal. If you score first, it could be a difficult game. But if we score once and you have to open up, I think we could, rack up a bit of a score. So I'm relatively confident. I think, look, this isn't meant to be disparaging, but I think we've got a little bit more quality. And at London Road, where the pitch is that much bigger and a little bit nicer and a bit easier to play with an atmosphere behind you. I'll go 2-0 Posh. I don't think it'll be you're a tough team to break down, so I don't think it'll be a mauling, but it depends how quickly we can score. If you have to open up early, then it could be a tough game for you. But like I say, if we don't turn up, I think you played both derby games like a derby last season and we didn't, so I'm not counting my chickens, certainly.
Well, I'd love to say I disagree, but to be honest, I sort of do agree. But I do hope you're wrong. Thank you very much for coming on, John. Really appreciate it.
Cheers, mate. Been a pleasure.
Now, what I'm taking from that, Tom, is that it's just a reminder that they were 4-0 up in the first leg of the playoff semi-final and they managed to not win that tie. How absolutely amazing to be able to chat to a Posh fan about that. Just brilliant to see the pain in his eyes when I brought it up.
Yeah, I will say, you know, irritating he actually came across as an all right bloke.
Yeah, he was quite
bookended by thoughts of him being a bit of a helmet, to be honest.
He started with a dig. He got a dig in early.
In the first minute, 20 seconds in, very confident of a Posh win.
First thing, yeah.
Still within the first minute, he got a little big day out comment in there.
That's the one that
right at the end, he was talking about racking up a bit of a scoreline.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the middle bit, it was good. And I particularly enjoyed the parts about, you know, obviously the 4-0 capitulation. And he even brought up the Palace thing himself. I'd kind of forgotten about that a little bit. And then you remember they did actually get relegated on final day, having conceded a very, very late goal, two very late goals away at Palace. So, you know, he's kind of doing our job for us a bit there. The rest of it, the actual content, the sort of, you know, meat of the conversation, if you like, did scare me a little bit, to be honest.
Yeah. We'd sort of undenied about whether to actually get a Posh fan, whether we could sort of actually
find one.
But obviously, find one. Yeah, find one literate enough to be able to open Zoom. And we obviously did do the right thing because we got a very good preview out of it. But I've got to say, within that first minute, when he got that big day out comment in, I was like, oh, well, this is... Well, I'm only mentioning one thing next, mate.
Oh, for fuck.
There's only one thing coming up next, mate. So you're 4-0 up in the first leg of the semi-final.
That could have gone really badly, couldn't it? That could have been like Zoom call disconnected. Like, just abuse. Hurling abuse from behind the screen at each other.
He was a thoroughly nice guy, to be fair. But annoyingly, actually, I would say, you know, the thing is about that semi-final is the moment I brought it up, I saw his eyes roll like, fuck's sake.
He must have known that was coming up. And he must have been like, right, I've got my kind of script ready for when this comes up. I thought he would have retorted with a bit of a kind of...
You never got to a league on semi-final, yeah, something. Yeah. Yeah,
something along those lines.
Yeah.
Not quite there. Not quite got it. But yeah, fair play.
Look, the like you say, the meat of that conversation was for United fans on the pitch. Jokes aside, probably fairly, what's the word? You know, a nice dose of healthy realism going into this game if we didn't have enough of it already. They start this game in fourth place. They've started the season much better than I think a lot of the preseason pundits and predictions had predicted them to. They were expecting loads of turnover in the summer. Obviously, there was a fair amount, but not the two that you mentioned there, Ronnie Edwards and Johnson Clark-Harris, still at the club. They're 28 points, 4 points off second. They're just a very good League One team, as they always are in this division, right, Tom?
Yeah, I think so. I think probably it would be fair to say as well that I think the two players that they've kept that they're expecting to go are probably two players that will be a real asset for them. You know, Edwards is obviously a quality defender with a real good potential in the game, and obviously Clark Harris is a more than one in two goal scorer for them throughout a few seasons at the club now, including one in the Championship. So yeah, they've got players pretty much all over the pitch who are just really good at this level. You know, you kind of expect it by now, you know, despite losing a few decent ones in the summer. I think, like, you know, it's probably like a wider thing about Posh, and obviously, you know, the Posh teams that, you know, John obviously referred to there. I think he's referring to ones like George Boyd, McLean, Mikhail Smith, yeah, sort of early Ferguson era. I do think the model seems to have shifted a little bit from their end into they sell on like a Jack Taylor, for example, to Ipswich for whatever the fee was, probably a couple of million, something like that. And then they reinvest a pretty significant chunk of that into players who are semi-proven at this level, like an Archie Collins, who I think is someone that he mentioned. So it's still like quite an expensively assembled squad. You know, it's not like the Posh teams of, you know, days gone by where they'd sign someone from like Dagenham and they'd score like 30 goals in League One and then they'd sell them on for loads of money. It's not what they do, but what they've kind of ended up with is clearly a very good team. And the thing that maybe concerns me more than anything is that the players that he's kind of pinpointed as being the players who are likely to hurt us are the players who are going to be kind of facing us in positions that I'm kind of more worried about, which is basically out wide. And, you know, it has to be a bit of a concern that I think. I'm really interested to see from their side of Clark Harris does start. Obviously, he's not been kind of in the team of late, I think, but it feels like against Morrison and Bennett, who you assume are going to start centre back for us, that's a really important part of the pitch as well. Because if it's all out wide and it's all kind of possession based, we've seen how that can end up. Sometimes it plays into our hands a little bit. I'm not saying it definitely will in this game, quite, you know, far from it. But yeah, I mean, they're a team that are well set up to go and hurt teams. They obviously lost in the week at Wigan. You know, John obviously mentioned there that he felt they were quite unfortunate. You know, the XG backs it up. And you've got to remember, they've gone, I think they limited Wigan to sort of about 0.5-ish around there. They've got about 1.5. So they've created much better chances away at a Wigan team who, let's not forget, they'd be sat seventh in the league themselves if it wasn't for, obviously, for the points deduction. So it's a good team they've gone and created good chances against away from home, despite coming out of it with a disappointing result, I guess. So yeah, there's no way of dressing this up. There's no way of kind of getting away from it. This is a really, really tough game, one of the hardest games we'll have in the division. And then you add all the context of the derby into it and everything else, and suddenly it's a pretty daunting prospect. But yeah, we'll give it a go, won't we?
We will give it a go, Thomas. That's one thing we definitely will do. It's worth noting their recent form as well. They've won 3, drawn 1, lost 1, that loss being that game up at Wigan, beating Blackpool away from home 4-2. Their last 3 home games, 2-2 draw at home to Wickham, and then 2-2-0 wins against Bristol Rovers and Lincoln, teams that you probably consider, you know, on our level, if not maybe ever so slightly better, and they sort of dispatch them 2-0 fairly comfortably. It seems to be the sort of game that if you take the derby context out of it, they're pretty comfortable in being able to dispatch teams like us, beating Vale 1-0 away from home as well, being another example of that. So,
fewer loss, that's what I'm hearing. Fewer loss.
Fewer loss. Well, they lost at home, right, sure. Yeah.
Just against a team like us, really.
And look, should we do the headline? Peterborough United 3, Tottenham Hotspur under-21s 1. So,
goal worse than us.
Goal worse.
Kind of tells you everything that you need to know. I will note as well, is just, you know, just quickly on obviously the way that they're playing the game, it was interesting to hear that Darren Ferguson is implementing what was described as a more progressive style implemented by Darren Ferguson, despite everything that we know about him to the contrary. So that's always an interesting note to make. That's one of however many are going to come in before full time on Saturday. Get it in early. That's what I say.
Yeah, get it in early. Aside from him, who are you nervous about specifically? One player.
I think it's Mason Clark. Or whoever's going to play on the right wing, Poku, probably a little bit more if he's going to be on the right wing. Because that's a matchup for me that scares me. One of those wingers against Danny Andrew. Not because, you know, Danny Andrew's necessarily been horrendous of late. Like, I think his performance has been much improved compared to early in the season. But I think if there's a place that we can be got at and there's an area of the pitch that we have been got at, it's been out wide. You know, you look at the goals we conceded against Burton, you look at the goal we conceded against Bracknell even. You know, they've managed to hurt us by kind of beating a man on the far side and getting a ball into the box. And basically just, if you do that enough, someone's going to be in the right place, you know, logic dictates. So that's what concerns me. That's the bit of the pitch that I'm most worried about. You know, obviously I'm saying this on the assumption that Bonner's going to line up in a similar way to we have all season. That might not happen. I'd be surprised if it is anything but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, they're, you know, some of the best attacking players in the division, make no mistake about it. And if you look at where we've been hurt this season, those two things probably go together to make a rather unpleasant picture. So, yeah, that's what worries me.
Yeah, 100% to sort of back that up. But I suppose, you know, you've picked out Mason Clark, you easily could have picked out Poku on the other side. Those two plus Clark Harris have all scored 4 goals. So they clearly spread the goals out pretty well along that front line. Shows they've got threats from everywhere. You know, I will point out that Fajiri scored 1 more than all 3 of them. So, you know, and ask me what Fajiri's minutes per goal are.
What are Fajiri's minutes per goal?
118, mate. So ask me what Johnson Clark Harris's minutes per goal are.
What are Johnson Clark Harris's minutes per goal?
268. So you do the maths.
Have that. Slugs. Absolute slugs. No personalities.
So we are speaking about a guy though who may not start. Obviously at this stage we don't have the presser available. We are recording Thursday evening, but it doesn't look like one's happened yet for one reason or another. Injuries aside, if we're assuming what we know, which is that Gassan should make the squad, Morrison should be okay, Fajiri was just a precaution, Jordan Cousins might not be able to start, given that assumption, what would you do to the starting lineup? Would you start Gas even if he's maybe not quite 100%? Make him play through it. We've got a week off after this. You've got to start Morrow, right? Morrow starts unless he's absolutely busted.
Yeah, I think, you know, from the sound of it and in Bonner's post-match after Bracknell, he was fairly confident that Morrison was okay. He just said he had a bit of a fat lip. I think he said to go with another fat lip as well, which was a bit of a dig, fair, you know, in fairness. I think hopefully we expect him to be all right. And then obviously you assume that'll be him alongside Ryan Bennett. The midfield and the striker, I guess, then is the interesting one. You know, you assume that Brophy comes back into the team after sitting out against Bracknell and against the aforementioned Spurs under 21s. So it's that kind of central part of the pitch. What do you do there? You know, I've kind of been sort of a little bit critical of our decision to continue with the same system, the same setup against some of the opposition we faced since Portsmouth, as we did against Portsmouth, you know, with Digby in that higher sort of pressing role. But this seems to me to be a game that kind of needs it a little bit, maybe needs a little bit of that. So I'd be surprised if Digby kind of goes back to the kind of sitting role that we maybe associate with him a little bit more. So that begs the question, if Cousins isn't starting, who's going to do it? And it is hard to, it is kind of hard to look at. I wonder if it might end up being, Cousins, May and Thomas. Sorry, not Cousins, Digby, May and Thomas rather. In there in some shape. I'm not sure exactly how that would look, how it would fit. I'm kind of picturing Thomas in a proper number 10 role or Thomas maybe even just deep line. I don't know how it's going to look. I think Cousins has become really pivotal for the way that we line up, and particularly in a game like this, just his use of the ball, just his kind of presence in there really has been so important. So I also wonder whether there's an argument to say that, like, if Cousins is fit at all, start him and, you know, yeah, get building that platform and then obviously change it later in the game when you're hopefully still in it. Even if you're like chasing a goal or something, it makes sense that Cousins might make way anyway. So it's a difficult one for Bonner, and I don't know why. I've got absolutely no knowledge to, you know, to say this, but no insider information at all. I just kind of think we might see a bit of a change in shape for this one. I can't say why that is. It just feels like we might do something a bit different here. And that might end up looking like Gassan and Fajiri start. And, you know, you start a back three or something like that. You know,
fucking mental, mate. The last time that happened, we lost at fucking Cheltenham. If he did that, of all the things that he could do.
That was playing as like 4-4-2 though, wasn't it?
So are you suggesting Fajiri on the left? Or?
No, I'm suggesting we might line up or could line up with three at the back. I'm just wondering if that maybe takes a little bit of pressure off the sort of wide areas of the pitch.
Do you not think, though, maybe if we were going to do that, maybe he'd probably play, and this is like, I'm fully with you. I think if Cousins is fit, he starts, or Bonner's going to want to play that team, that basically the one that played against Pompey, like you say. But I feel like if he can't, maybe what he'll do is, if it's radical, is 5-4-1, right? So you've got protection out wide either side.
Bolton away. That was the blueprint, wasn't it? That's exactly how we lined up against Bolton. And that's kind of what makes me think it, because Bolton obviously had and still have, you know, obviously well-renowned, a really good attacking threat. Yeah. And I think, like, you look at Posh, it's not like going, you know, to a team who are just going to beat you by kind of freezing you out of the game and just kind of being efficient. Like, their threat is that they can overwhelm you a little bit, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair to say. And I wonder how much of our kind of preparation this is going to be, and how do we specifically counter that? How do we specifically counter Posh? And I wonder if Bonner's going to go a little bit Pep Guardiola and overthinking things in big moments. But we'll have to see.
Do you think, sorry, if it is five at the back, are you anticipating that third central defender is, well, Zeno couldn't play Tuesday, so I'd be shocked if he was also in.
Couldn't he?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Ah, conspiracy theories, tinfoil hat.
Oh, that's where you've got it from. I see.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know.
It's going to look very much like you do know if this is the Saturday.
Yeah, absolutely Nostradamus sort of stuff. I think.
I suppose. Well, it could be Okadina. It could be Andrew, and then Hanstruff at left back. That seems pretty.
Or Brophy at wing back.
Brophy at wing back.
It sounds right. It sounds like I do know. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
You're like, oh, you know, I don't know. Bloody Brophy at wing back, maybe.
Yeah, probably inverted wing back, something like that. You know, George probably, Thomas I'm playing it, then Gansh. No, I don't
and then,
know.
And then what about up top then? Do you think if Gassan's, it's sort of the same situation as Cousins, in my opinion, if Gassan's good to start him and then bring Fajiri on as that brilliant impact role that he's had?
Yeah, I think so. And to be honest, that's probably as much from being burnt, might be a little bit harsh, but I feel like what we've seen of it when Fajiri does start up top on his own, I think Derby away, for example, it all just looks a little bit lost. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, what Ahadme brings us in the way that he plays the game is so important. You know, even if at times the quality is lacking a little bit, the first touch is lacking. He's obviously been without a goal in the league for ages. Even if these are things that are lacking from his game, I still think what he brings us is quite important. Clearly what Fajiri brings us is important as well, which is fundamentally goals, which obviously you know, famously win games. But
I'd call them the currency of football.
Yeah, it kind of feels like for you know if you want to sort of plan an away performance, then a player like Ahadme is going to be quite crucial to that. But yeah, again, it's all fitness dependent, isn't it? We might be a little bit hamstrung, so to speak, by what we're actually able to do.
Don't say hamstrung, mate. We're talking about Jordan Cousins here. Look, regardless of that, Thomas, no matter how we start, how's it going to end? What's your prediction?
Fuck knows, mate. If we win, it could end on Sunday. You know what? This is proper cliche stuff. It's really like head tells me, heart tells me sort of stuff. Like everything in this football match is set up for them to win, isn't it? You know, the record against teams of a similar-ish sort of level. You know, the
record in derbies.
The way they're going, the record, particularly at London Road in derbies. Yeah. And, you know, like we mentioned earlier, some of the maybe, you know, the kind of analytical stuff about how they can hurt us and where we can be hurt, kind of matching up quite well to maybe suggesting a posh win. But I think it's because of through more than 20 years of just utter stupidity, I kind of feel like we're going to get something. And I've got almost literally no explanation for that. I guess the one thing you can count on, which, you know, I think was a really good point from the discussion with John, was the way that Bonner set us up in both games and the way we competed in both games has to be a crucial thing. You know, Ferguson, despite all his flaws, both personally and professionally, is obviously, you know, a decent manager at this level, won promotion from it before, so we know he's a good operator. But Bonner's just got that extra little edge in this game. And that's something that you'd like to think will shine through. And, you know, if we can kind of set up in a similar way that we did last season, you know, let's not forget at London Road, we heard them probably should have come out of that with something. And obviously in the home game, there was, you know, it was night and day. Like we were so much better than they were. If you can have a bit of that sort of, again, we're going to go back to it, but like the word intangibles just comes to mind. Things that don't really make sense, but actually do have an impact. Then that maybe gives us a bit of confidence. And I think that's kind of what I'm relying on more than anything. Because I don't think as two purely footballing entities, we should go there and get something, but we could just because of the nature of the game.
That's exactly it. It's quite interesting to hear that from him because obviously he was in the home end at London Road and the away end at the Abbey, and to hear that from a posh perspective, that even when they won at London Road, you could see that there was a difference in the way we were going about the game. And like, obviously that was, you know, let's call it an unfortunate own goal that ended up splitting us that day, but we were well worth a point that day, I thought, and we were obviously well worth the 3 points at the Abbey. So there is something, you know, these moments where having a boyhood fan, a guy who cares deeply about your football club, like Mark Bonner, might have a way of getting us up for games and his team up for games like this in a way that, not saying that Darren Ferguson doesn't care deeply about Posh, but in a different sort of way. And I think that might be the slight advantage that we get. Having said that, my prediction's 2-0 Posh. What's yours?
Oh dear.
Go on, do it. Go with your heart, mate.
Yeah, no. Yeah, do it. Do you know what? I'll back myself. I'll say we'll get a 0-0 draw out of it. Clean sheet.
Oh, look at him backing himself. Another clean sheet.
By the way, if I was scabbing a 0-0 draw, is the definition of us backing ourselves in. Things really are wrong. I will say as well, you know, we're clearly kind of, you know, approaching the end. But it's worth noting that, you know, obviously clearly on both sides, people didn't necessarily make, you know, cover themselves in glory last year. You know, one person on our side and, you know, made quite a mess in the away end, it's fair to say. And obviously on their side, there was a lot of quite... inappropriate, probably isn't quite taking it far enough, quite sort of untoward chanting about people who maybe won't be at the game and obviously can't be at the game. It's worth noting as well, we've been kind of contacted by one of the Posh fans. I don't have their name, sorry, but I think it's worth making a point anyway that there is going to be a bit of a recognition. I think it's the 28th minute to one of their fans. I don't have the name of the guy who's passed away. I think Liam Forsyth, Posh fan. Obviously not going to be there on Saturday because, you know, he's obviously passed away. But you know, I think it's worth noting that, and I'd like to think that people that listen to this maybe wouldn't. And obviously wouldn't, you know, kind of look at it as an opportunity for revenge, if you like. You know, you've got to kind of rise above that. You know, it's obviously a moment of recognition for, you know, a good cause, I think. And it's important that we respect that. And, you know, if we're going to kind of last year come out of that game and, you know, whine about things that their fans were doing, it's important that we do things in the right way. And that kind of goes across the whole fan base. That's the last kind of genuinely sort of serious thing I'll say about that. I think it's worth making a point of.
Respect, you know, hashtag respect from a football fan. Yeah, lovely to see.
That is 1 minute in the game, by the way. That's the only minute of proper.
Yeah. Beside that, jokes aside, that's at Ducks PUFC who's organising that. Is Liam Forsyth. Very sorry to hear that news. And it's the 28th minute. It's a minute's applause. So anyone listening to this, is going down to London Road, do join in for that minute and put your rivalries aside for that minute and show some respect, Tom. Been a pleasure, mate.
Yeah, hasn't it just?
We're back on Sunday, mate. Me, you, and Casper, I think, on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm already kind of mentally fast forwarding to that, just thinking about the depression that's going to be hanging over all of us. Post Derby Day blues, right?
Yeah, that's it, mate. I don't say blues. Anyway, once again, vote for us in the FSA Awards. Link in the description of this episode. Tom, I'll see you Sunday, and everyone else. See you on Sunday as well.
You see me very early on Saturday, mate. That's when you're
But I meant more. 6:30, professionally, I'll see you Sunday. Professionally, yeah. Sunday. You know.